Studio 360.
I'm a fan of The Man in the High Castle, which is the Amazon show that imagines what the United States would be like if the Axis powers had won the Second World War. It's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, and it creates this alternative universe where the Nazis control the eastern half of the country and the Japanese control the west. Last month, to promote the premiere of the show's second season, Amazon installed an ad in New York City that took up an entire block.
One of the biggest billboards in the Times Square area, and it's also one of the most controversial.
Yeah, the ad for fictional show The Man in the High Castle depicts the Statue of Liberty giving a Nazi salute.
Which not everybody loved.
This is a symbol of freedom, and to have that out here, it's offensive.
Actually, I was fine with the billboard, but I do have to say that watching the second season of the show now, after the presidential election, is different than watching a year ago was. And that's what got James Poniewozik drawing some connections. He is the chief television critic for the New York Times, and he wrote about the show in an article with the headline, "An Alternative America Hits Home." I asked him, why does it hit home now?
Because there are actual real Nazis out there who are pretty psyched right now. You know, rampant on social media, on Reddit, cheering on Donald Trump. And post-election, you know, we've seen the spectacle of Richard Spencer leading his minions in a Hail Trump chant.
Well, in fact, we have a clip of that, Richard Spencer being the head of a white nationalist organization. And this conference, which took place in a federal building in Washington, not very far from the White House, just after the election.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
And people during that hooray thing were actually giving Nazi salutes. Spencer afterwards said, oh, it was just exuberant. And I think he said even it was ironic in some fashion. So cut to the fiction on TV, Man in the High Castle, this new season. First episode, first few minutes, right at the beginning of the show. It's a classroom in this suburban American high school.
Class, rise. I swear, I will observe the law, conscientiously fulfill my duties at home and school, be faithful and obedient, and pledge absolute allegiance until death to the leader of the Nazi Empire, Adolf Hitler.
And, of course, Heil is hail. When Spencer used that phrase, hail the people, hail Trump, all that.
The parallels were not lost on him. Yes. The translations.
Now, okay, there's Richard Spencer and there are these neo-Nazis using social media. And there are hundreds, thousands, I guess, of people who, in whatever sense, subscribe to this. They're not yet taking over our high schools, I guess. But I thought your article was really smart and played it correctly, because we can't, if we pay attention to the news, watch this show without thinking of this part of the Trump phenomenon. There was some criticism. What did you make of that?
I expected that. I mean, I can certainly see that, you know, people are going to come across this and say, oh, the New York Times is saying Trump is Hitler, you know, and I tried to make the point in the piece. Look, this TV show is not a documentary. You know,
it's a work of art.
There's a lot of space between Trump is literally Hitler and
yes,
everything is fine.
Yes.
And a lot of the stuff in that space is, you know, bad enough on its own.
Right.
I'm sorry, you know, I come from a Jewish family. When I see people in a gathering in Washington, D.C. giving the Nazi salute, I do feel an eerie relevance. You know, that's not the same as saying Donald Trump is totally a Nazi.
Right.
And I think people are wrong to read that, you know, that end of that. But it's disturbing.
And your kicker made me go, which was about how reality sort of had overtaken this fiction. Quote, if you wanted to ask what would I do if it happened here in the past, you had to watch a TV show, implying that Americans now have to ask themselves, what will I do because it now may actually happen here?
Yeah, which is, you know, which is not to say that we're being ruled by Nazis, but you're seeing the stirrings of things that are illiberal, anti-democratic, bigoted. What, one thing that I led into that with is that in the new season of The Man in the High Castle, one of the curiosities is that in this alternative history, it turns out that there were, in fact, still Japanese American internment camps. And it went differently in this case in the show. Mild spoiler alert, but you know we lost the war. They were liberated by the Japanese, and the Japanese Americans held there were viewed hostily by the conquering Japanese. But in any case,
which is a great fictional twist.
Segue from that to the fact that not long after the election, a Trump supporter was being interviewed on Fox News by Megyn Kelly, asked about Donald Trump's Muslim immigration ban, a Muslim entry ban, justified it by citing the historical precedent of Japanese American internment camps.
I know the ACLU is going to challenge it, but I think it'll pass. And we've done it with Iran back a while ago. We did it during World War II with Japanese, which, you know, call it what you
Come
will,
on.
maybe
you're
wrong.
Not, but... You're not proposing we go back to the days of internment camps, I hope.
No. I'm not proposing that at all, Megan. But what I am
you know
saying
better
is
than
that
to suggest
we need to protect
that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets people scared, Carl.
Right. But I'm just saying there is precedent for it, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but in this case, I absolutely believe that a regional base...
You can't be citing Japanese internment camps as precedent for anything the president-elect is going to do.
Yes, that this is not an exact parallel to, you know, fascism in the 1930s or the 1940s. You know, it doesn't have to, like, nothing bad comes on you all at once. And even if it's not the same kind of bad
right.
thing, when you start encountering these things, that's when you start asking yourself, I'm actually living in a situation where, you know, things like this are being talked about. And getting back to The Man in the High Castle, I think that one thing that has been very interesting about that show, it's not the greatest show on television, but some of the most interesting things it does, I don't know if you'd agree with this, is dealing with the culture of occupied America, which is
right.
basically asking themselves, what would a fascist occupied America look and feel like? They very carefully thought through, oh, what would the popular music be like? Well, you'd remove all the non-Aryan influences. And you know, it would be this very sort of bubblegum pop.
Right.
I think there was a Rock Hudson movie in the first episode, that sort of thing.
Well,
but deracinated in that way. And it brings up this sort of, you know, curious, you know, insinuation that if an invading army were creating a fascist America at that time, you'd have some raw materials here that you could build. You know, it's not just like imposing Teutonic culture on a subjugated country.
The other thing you mentioned that's in the second season that sounded really interesting, which is a police show on TV that that justifies the police state Nazi tactic.
American Reich, it's called.
Now you listen and you listen good, mister.
You cops, always towing the Nazi line.
Let's say we tow your line.
Sieg Heil.
American Reich, coming this fall.
Again, in this American world of Nazi-occupied America, there's still primetime television. You know, there's still very... almost familiar looking
like
diversions.
Dragnet?
It basically is modeled on a Dragnet type television show. That's, you know, it's not to say the original Dragnet was authoritarian in its way. It wasn't fascist, but you know,
right.
but there are elements of familiar culture that you
right.
can take, put a little spin on them, and they can be adopted to these sort of purposes.
And one of the most interesting things to me about this whole resonance is that it was entirely accidental. They made the first season before Donald Trump ran this new one when he couldn't possibly have
yeah.
won, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this was ever their intent with the show. I mean, you know, obviously alternative histories involving World War II are you know, a very, you know, long time thing.
Right.
You know, arguably in, you know, pop culture and literature, there are even closer parallels. You know, look at something like Philip Roth's The Plot Against America, where that is actually, you know, it imagines a Charles Lindbergh administration.
Right.
And actually that fascist-type regime in America being voted into power. But yeah, things like this, you know, happen accidentally all the time. 24, was picked up by Fox before the September 11th attacks.
Right.
You know, it just happened to become this, you know, signal show of the early war on terror era after the fact.
So you said you don't think it's the greatest show on television. What do you make of it as a show apart from all this political relevance?
It, you know, it's entertaining. It's to me, it is the, you know, TV equivalent of a page turner. It's not big on plot, and they really had to, you know, make a lot of departures in order to create an ongoing storylines.
Story, yeah,
exactly. Because, you know, it's a single novel, and it's sort of anti-plot and very, you know, philosophically musing. There's a lot about fate and, you know, religion and Eastern myst. Yeah, exactly. But the result is that there is, you know, a great driving mystery and a lot of action, and it's exciting. The characters, unfortunately, and this is what I think keeps it from being a very, very great show, is that the characters are just not as developed anywhere near as well as the world is, especially the central characters. And there's a fair amount of wooden acting in it.
The production design, though, is amazing to watch.
Yeah.
The way San Francisco and New York look, and how the industrial design in the East is somewhat different than the industrial design of the West. That's pretty cool.
The Nazis are really into their infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's like another...
Yeah, that's true. Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
I took a little trip to my hometown. I only stopped just to...
James Poniewozik is the chief television critic for the New York Times. The Man in the High Castle was just greenlit for a third season, but in the meantime, you can watch all of season one and season two on Amazon.